All right. Thank you, Peter, for the introduction. So, unfortunately, the U.S. Embassy could not produce a visa in time for Moreza, but they are listening in, and they will be available to field your questions, either after the presentation or offline. Okay. So, as we know, there's an ever-growing number of data generation sources, and due to the size and velocity of the data being generated, it is sometimes unfeasible to store the data in its entirety. So therefore, stream processing becomes a necessity, and stream join is a core operation in stream processing and is arguably one of the most expensive to compute. Okay, so what is stream join? So given two unbounded streams, we would like to join the tuples from each stream. So we first discretize the streams using sliding window semantics, so that could be time-based or count-based windows. And then when a new tuple joins into one of the stream, it must be compared against the content of the window in the opposing stream, so using some condition. So for example here, if we have a customer stream and we have a product stream, so we look at the current state of both windows for both streams, and we compare all the tuples against each other. So in this case, there is one matching result for the join. So in terms of architecture, so if you want to implement this stream join on a single core, for example, so this is what we call a join core, so a core processing is a stream join operation. So you would have two buffers, one for each of the streams. And so these buffers are used for storing the tuples. So this is one of the steps that you have to do, is storing the tuples as they're coming into the sliding window. And the second step is the processing step, where you take the incoming tuple and then you compare it against all the tuples in the opposing stream. And then this generates a stream of results. And so if you were to use just a single join core, of course, and you have a large window buffers, then it's an expensive operation. So the idea then is to parallelize using multi-core architecture. And so in a previous work proposed at VLDB 2014, which is called low latency handshake join, so this work serves as the baseline comparison for the proposed solution in the current paper. So in this work, they instantiate several join cores, which are joined in a chain. And then the flow of incoming tuples from both streams are split, what we call the bidirectional flow. So there's one flow for the tuples for stream R, for example, and for stream S. And they enter this chain of join cores at opposite ends. And so what happens is that they travel from one join core to the other, being processed and stored at the appropriate join core. So now, the first issue we identify with this work is that there's inter-core communication overhead, since you need the cores to communicate to each other in order to pass those tuples. The second problem is that there could be race conditions that needs to be solved. So for example, here we have a tuple R1, which is traveling to be processed at each join core, and then you have a tuple S1, which needs to be stored in join core 1. So this is what we call the home join core in this work. So if the home join core for S1 is in join core number 1, and then R1 is also in transit from core 1 to core 2, both of them could completely miss each other, so that and then you would potentially miss a result. So you would need logic to avoid that race condition. Thirdly, there's a high latency with using this kind of chaining architecture. So what we define latency here as the average visiting latency. So it's the idea is that you have two tuples, consecutive tuples coming from the two different streams, and what is the latency until they can be compared to each other? So in an architecture where all the join cores are chained to each other, they have to travel multiple join cores before they can meet each other. So there's a high latency associated to that chain. And then finally, the last problem with this work is that there might be more consistency issues. So for example, if a tuple which is at time t, and there's a tuple from the opposing stream at time t plus 1, so for this tuple at time t, the home join core is number 2, so then when it because it is a sliding window, when it is stored in join core number two, you have to evict the oldest tuple in join core two. However, because we have bidirectional flow, there's no synchronization between the stream R and the stream S, it is entirely possible that the tuple at T plus one arrives at join core number two before tuple T from R, which means that it would then be processed and matched against the oldest tuple, which is not supposed to happen, so that would generate a false positive. So in order to avoid this kind of issues, you need to introduce explicit expiration messages into the stream. So these expiration messages explicitly evicts these tuples so that there's no false positive matches. So that requires additional coordination. Okay, so for now, to the proposed solution in the work. So the contribution here is called split join. So as I said, there's two different steps that need to process. When you do a stream join, you have to do processing to find the results, and then you have to store it into a window in order to so that it can be compared by tuples incoming from the other stream. So in this new split join architecture, the processing steps and the storing steps are completely independent. So there's a split between the two. And so more concretely, what does this mean? It is that a join core is not split into the right region and the left region. So for example, if we take the stream R, we say that the stream R is being stored into the right region, but it is processed in the left region. So in the left region, the tuple will be matched against all the tuples stored there for window S, but in the right region, it is stored so that the tuples from the stream S can be matched against it. So these are independent processes now. Okay, so now if you want to parallelize split join and introduce multiple join cores, what you then have a distributor which sends all the tuples to every join core. And so now the every join core then must process the tuple in order to find matches, but the storing is only done at one of the join cores. So you can see here that each tuple only exists in one of the join cores. It's only stored in one of the windows. Okay, so the main property of this work compared to the old one is that it uses a top-down data flow approach instead of this bidirectional data flow with chained join core. So that means that all the tuples are sent to every join core in parallel. So that means no inter-core communication between the join cores. There's no chaining. There's no race conditions anymore. There's significant reduction in latency because now you don't have to visit multiple join cores. Everything is that you only visit a single join core in parallel. And finally, there's no expiry messages because now you don't have a bidirectional flow. The input stream of tuples contain both streams and is not split into two flows. So in terms of implementation, so it is implemented as a software using written in C. So it has three different components. First is the input data distribution network, which is in charge of distributing the tuples. And then you have the join cores, which are in parallel. And then the result gathering network, which collects all the results from each of the join cores to form a single unified result stream. So more concretely, it is the implementation uses FIFO queues and threads. So specifically for each join core, you have a single thread for the processing and then two queues. Okay, so here's an example of how split join works. So suppose you have a query with two streams, R and S, and you have to join on the ID. And there's also an additional condition on the price. So then you have incoming tuples, for example, for stream R. So these tuples are distributed to all the join cores. So they'll be processed. In this case, the windows start empty, so there's no results that will be generated. However, only one of the join cores stores the results, so they're allocated. They know which tuples they're in charge of. So when a second tuple comes in, this one will be stored into the second one. And then the third one will then go back to the first join core, since we only have two join cores. And so when you now have a tuple from the opposite stream, so from stream S, this tuple is stored in one of the join cores, in this case in the first join core, but it is processed at both join cores against the content of the windows in each join core. So in this case, you see that there's a match only in the first join core, so that is sent to the result gathering network. So now more detail on this, on the ladder. So first I want to show you the overall architecture. So it is a hierarchical architecture. So the idea is that we use mergers to merge results from the same regions of each join core. So the right side regions are merged together, the left side regions are merged together, and finally we have a collector that collects all the results. So now there is concerns with ordering with when it comes to the result stream. So in order to so what we mean by ordering here is that we would like all the results that are pertaining to one tuple to be consecutively sent ordered into the result stream. So and so in order to guarantee this ordering, we introduce a concept called punctuation markers. These are markers that you introduce into the result stream. So here's how it works. So suppose that we focus on the processing on the right side region of join core number 2. So here a tuple is being matched against the window here. This will generate results which are sent into buffer 1 and then be collected by the merger. So once you've done all the process, you then output a punctuation marker. So when the merger reads the punctuation marker, it will stop reading processing from this buffer number 1, and then it will only process from the buffer number 2. So once it receives a punctuation marker from buffer 2, you are now guaranteed that you've received all the possible results for this particular tuple that both of these join cores were working on at the same time. So you've now collected all the results for this tuple. So this is the ordering that you're looking for. And this ordering is scalable and adjustable because you can, for example, set a larger interval and say the punctuation only happens for a larger batch of tuples, not for every tuple. It could be for a larger number of tuples before you. So then the guarantee is that you get all the results for this batch of tuples, but there's no guarantee of ordering within the batch itself. Okay, so here's a more detailed comparison between split join and the existing work, which was low latency handshake join. So it is a top-down data flow, which means no race condition or inter-core communication, and the ordering is done using punctuation. And finally, we can also note that there's failure resilience because there's no chaining between join cores. If one join core fails, it simply recovers and there's no dependency with the other join cores. So in terms of evaluation, we evaluated split join using a 32-core machine with Ubuntu, and the software is written in C, as I've mentioned before. And so we have an implementation for both time-based windows and count-based windows. However, do note that for the time-based windows, there's a 15% overhead associated because the time spans were collected using a get-time operation. Okay, so in terms of throughput comparison, so first, let's take a look at the left graph, which shows that for an increasing number of join cores, the throughput scales accordingly. And so in particular, you can see that with 28 join cores, the performance of SJ, which is the split join with the 15-minute time-based window compared to the low-latency handshake, which is the previous work, there's a 60% improvement in throughput. Now, you also note that there's a small drop in throughput when you go to 32. That's because we do require extra threads to do the distribution and the result gathering, so we cannot deploy all 32 cores for doing the join operation. Oh, sorry. And then on the right side, you see throughput performance for the count-based window. So you notice the same trend, which is that the throughput increases as you increase you deploy more join cores all the way up to 28. Okay, so in terms of latency, so the main trend that we notice is that as you increase the number of join cores, the visiting latency also decreases. And at 28, you can see that it is more than 3 times reduction between split join and low latency handshake join. And then we also have more detailed results about the latency. So we break it down into distribution, execution, and result gathering latency. So the idea is that in all 3 phases, we have the same scalability trend, which is that as you increase the number of join cores, you decrease the latency. And then finally, we look at the trade-off between ordering precision and the performance, the throughput. So here we adjust the interval of punctuation, so how often you have to introduce those punctuation markers, and we use count-based windows, and we look at the size. So one first special observation is that for a large count-based window size and a large interval of punctuation, the performance is not affected. Thank you. And however, for a smaller size count-based windows, and for the performance is affected by the punctuation intervals. So of course, the more ordered the stream is, the less performance you obtain. Okay, so in conclusion, the paper proposes a new stream join architecture called split join, which uses a top-down flow approach, which eliminates inter-core communication and any dependencies between the join cores. Also, another nice property of split join is that it is recursive. So a split, the entire problem is then divided into sub-problems of sub-problem of split join, and so you can then subdivide even further, and also you can use other stream join algorithms if you want to solve these sub-problems. And finally, split join has a adjustable ordering mechanism using punctuation markers. Okay, thank you. So now for questions, I will defer to the authors of the paper.
Okay, so let's thank everyone. So let me start. So I'm wondering whether you also explored the cost of the join predicate. So did you do any experiments where you varied how expensive it is to calculate the join predicate? And what is the impact on performance if you're very expensive?
So the problem the main problem that we try to address here is trying to reduce the communication overhead. So the fact that you have the join predicate, whether it's expensive or not, of course, will have a direct impact on the overall latency and the throughput of the system, but it won't have an effect on the way the messages are being passed and the coordination that is required that flows the tuples in and out. So that is the part that's the key focus of the paper. So far, we used basic predicates, like a smaller, greater, or equal sign, but you could extend it to other predicates. But it won't change the semantic in a way that you flow the data in and out. So that was the key focus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. So something else that I was wondering, so when you compare the handshake join to your split join, and you think about other types of parallel architectures, for example, GPUs, so which kind of design would be more appropriate if you want to accelerate joins on something like a GPU?
So again, that's another interesting question. So here is at the more sort of a higher level, so a higher level abstraction of having many cores. And in GPUs, you can think about you have many threads and also many cores as well. And so there are works on, so actually the predecessor of both handshake join and split join, it comes from cell join. So for instance, from a cell processor, which is not exactly GPU, but it's yet a different architecture. But again, going back to the idea of whether it's a split join or whether it's the handshake join, the idea was, can we change the flow structure in such a way to simplify the overall coordinations and the distribution? And so the handshake join was a sort of the idea was the way the soccer player do handshaking. So they, at the beginning of the match, they queue up, they go against each other, and they sort of start everybody get a chance to shake everybody else's hand. So that was the architecture that simplified the overall distribution across many cores. But then there were some problems, as Kaivan mentioned, in terms of coordination, et cetera, et cetera. And in the split join, we said, okay, let's change the flow of the data, and we actually, instead of having a two flow, we're gonna have a single flow of the data. So now if you have in the context of a GPU, which you have potentially many, many more threads, again, the same concept will apply, because again, the idea is that how do you try to minimize the coordinations among the join cores. Of course, there's one main problem with GPUs is that whether your data will be able to fit in GPU entirely or need to go out. So if there is now the data needs to come from the CPU, from the main memory coming to the GPU. So I think that's an interesting part that one needs to look at. But if you're now only talking about processing purely within a GPU, all of these algorithms will be applicable as well.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. So if there are no further questions, let's thank Kai Wen and the authors.